Good morning. This is the Northwest Seaport Alliance Co-Chair John McCarthy calling to order the Northwest Seaport Alliance Managing Member meeting for January 7th, 2025. The time is now 9:35 a.m. We will now recess to an executive session allowable under the Revised Code of Washington to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency litigation or potential litigation to which the agency is or is likely to become a party. This session is expected to end at 9:45 a.m. and we will be followed by a closed session pursuant to the Federal Maritime Commission agreement and the Federal Maritime Commission regulations and laws found in the United States Code and federal regulations. This closed FMC session is expected to end at 10:30. Related action is expected in the public session that follows. We will reconvene in public session at 11:30 a.m. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Leilani Baranovas, Executive Officer of West Seaport Alliance. The managing members are extending FMC session until 11 a.m. We will reconvene in public at 11:30 a.m. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning. It's still morning. It's now 11:34 a.m. and I'm calling the Northwest Seaport Alliance Managing Member meeting of January 7th, 2024 back to order. This is also a special meeting for the Port of Tacoma and the Port of Seattle commissions. The special meetings were called and noticed in compliance with the Revised Code of Washington. I am Alliance Co-Chair and Port of Tacoma Commission President John McCarthy. Also present for today's meeting are Port of Tacoma Commissioners Ang, Keller, Marzano, and Meyer, as well as Port of Seattle Commissioners Cho, Calkins, Thelman, and Hasegawa is attending virtually. Commissioner Mohammed is absent and is excused. Please join me at this point for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We had to figure out where the flag was, right?
Yeah, first test. Well, thank you all for being here. First meeting of the year. It's great to see a great crowd that are interested in Northwest Seaport Alliance business. Before we move forward to public comment, I would note that our agenda that we've prepared has been modified to the extent that consent agenda item number BC, that's additional funding of West Sitcom litigation, is being pulled because it is not ripe for consideration at this point in time. At this point in time, I would ask for a report by our Chief Executive Officer, John Wolf. John.
Thank you, Chair McCarthy, and welcome to 2025. Happy New Year to everyone. So, a couple of things. First of all, I want to run through the action agenda. It's a pretty short agenda for today, and then I want to invite Ellie Bugla up to explain an emergency declaration that we had to deal with prior to the meeting here. And then I have a couple of additional comments. So to begin with, on the action agenda, we have two items. First is we have projects that, good news, they're HMT eligible. And they're projects that you all have approved. So what we're wanting to ask for your consideration is the use of those HMT funds against the balance of the spending against those projects. And then the second item is a construction project for pile cap repair at Terminal 18, which also is HMT eligible. So that's good news as well. And we'll be looking for approval of that project. So at this point, LA, would you come? You beat me to it. Thanks for being here, Ellie, and I'll ask you to explain the situation that we're dealing with. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Morning, Commissioners. On Tuesday, December 17th, and Wednesday, December 18th, the combination of over 40-mile-hour winds and 14.5-foot tides caused some damage on the north side of Terminal 7 and the Husky Terminal. Terminal 7, we've got a bulkhead there, and some of the lagging boards gave way and the material washed out. So from Husky to Terminal 7, there's a road on the backside that hustlers use to transport containers from one end to another. So that road is at risk of being undermined and losing the material there. So we need to get that those lag boards restored, the material put back into place, and that's the temporary fix. And as part of the Terminal 7 project, we're going to evaluate some of the lag boards that are into place and replace them and make sure that is going to happen again in the future. At Husky, what the riprap that was protecting the habitat site gave way, and a lot of the material for the habitat site also gave away. So our substation for the cranes and the shore power is right there. And with most of the material washing out for the habitat site, the subgrid material on which the houses are sitting on is at risk of being exposed. So we need to get that restored also. The trees that were in the habitat, more than half of their roots are exposed now. So we do need to get the material back into those areas also so we don't lose those trees. So the temporary solution there is get the material back in, get some riprap on to protect the shoreline so we don't have further erosion of any material. And staff right now is evaluating coming up with a permanent fix to fix that entire shoreline on the north side of Husky. And we're considering maybe soft armoring as opposed to hard. We have coastal engineers analyzing the energy from the waves that come from the north side to see if that's even feasible. And if that's not feasible, we'll find a different solution. But in the future, within the next 2 or 3 years, we'll be returning with a project to improve that north shoreline at Husky. Any questions?
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions with regard to that emergency situation? Commissioner Fowler.
I appreciate your comment about trying to do soft shoreline reinforcement at Husky, but in the habitat site, you say you're adding riprap. Is it not possible to get, we collect logs from the Army Corps of Engineers that salvage them out of the waterway for navigational purposes and use them for reinforcements. Is that something that you feel you have to do riprap first, or is that something you would have to then undo to put in a soft armor?
Right, so the reason why we're doing the riprap right now is that time, right? We've been calling around to see, one, are the logs available? How much time do we have to get them put in? And without doing a full coastal analysis, to see if it's even going to work, what size logs do you need? We may not just have enough time to do that, but we did consider, as a temporary solution, putting in the logs and get them anchored.
Did you talk to our folks? I mean, we have logs stacked up at T25 as we speak, and we've been doing this kind of work for a while. As long as you talk to the Port of Seattle folks, then.
We are in communication with one of the biologists there at the Port of Seattle. But I think the bigger question is, what size logs do we need to make this design actually work? And the coastal engineers still need some time to actually analyze it. But we do need to get the work done before the February 15th fish window.
Thank you. Thank you. Any further questions on that situation? Commissioner Meyer.
Yeah, thank you. Any estimate on the cost of the temporary fix versus the longer term?
We're estimating between $100,000 to $200,000 right now.
Thank you.
Executive Wolf, do you have anything else with regard to your executive report?
I do. First of all, thank you, Ellie, for that explanation and for managing through a tough issue. Appreciate it. I wanted to also address the fact that we have some guests in the room today, you might have noticed, and I want to thank them for being here. Both the trucking warehouse community is here, along with our labor partners, who are generally here as well. And one of the things that we all talk about, including our Board of Commissioners, is being best in class in terms of gateway operations. And we aspire to do that, to achieve that outcome. And it's not a destination, as we've said, it's a journey, because there's always opportunity to close the gap. And recently, in trying to address a situation that's been challenged in this gateway for years, quite frankly, the trucker experience at our terminals, we came around that issue where we were trying to address an issue where trucks at many times throughout the week have extensive standby getting into and out of the terminals. And to be best in class really for us means having that truck when it shows up to process that transaction ideally within 60 minutes or less. And that's just not happening on a consistent basis today. And as a result of that, we lose business in this gateway. And we all have talked to customers that have gotten frustrated by it and have chosen at some point to leave this gateway for other gateways where they have that option. And that doesn't serve any of us because we lose the jobs, the opportunities for our labor force, for our trucking community, and certainly for us as a public enterprise that's mission is to create jobs and economic wealth for this community. So we're aligned around what we are trying to accomplish here. Where we get into some challenges, the how. And so with best efforts, our staff worked with the terminal operator and sought feedback from the trucking community and others, and came up with a plan that we presented to you late last year that you all supported, and we want to thank you for that. Since then, we heard from our trucking partners that there may be ways to modify that approach, sort of the how, to make it even better than what it is. And the feedback that we've received, even in the last few weeks from the trucking community, has been really helpful. Helpful to shape how we look at the issue and consider some alternatives that might be a better outcome for everyone, certainly our trucking community, and hopefully achieve the outcome that we all want, which is that trucker experience that is best in class, so that the customers that we're all serving want to stay here and bring more business here rather than leave. So our commitment to our Board of Commissioners and to the stakeholders, a subset which are here today, and I want to thank them for taking the time today to show up and share their thoughts, is that we're pausing on the execution of that plan to listen to some of the suggestions, consider those, consider changes to that approach so that we can come back with the best approach. And we'll keep the Board of Commissioners apprised of any changes there. And what I will say to wrap things up is we need to make some decisions pretty quickly and execute, because what I know with certainty is if we do nothing, we will be sitting here 2-3 years from now talking about the same issue without any change of result. So we have to do things differently. And there's no free lunch. There's no free lunch here. So we all have to work together and share in the compromise that gets that best-in-class service that serves all of us. So with that, I'll turn it back to Chair McCarthy. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we're going to have public comment, and We have three people that submitted some comments to us, all of which have been disseminated to all of the managing members, the commissioners of the managing members. Matt Schrapp, who's also, I believe, here, Thilo Kluth, and Sherry Call of the Washington Truck Association. And as I've said, we've submitted those emails to the full board. This issue, gate program and gate fee program, is not on the agenda, but we're happy to have you here to discuss it with us in any case. But before I get to those that wish to speak on that topic, I think we did have one a person who had signed in for an agenda item, and that would be Ron Manuel. Ron, are you here?
I'd prefer to like to go at the end.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that. Did want to give you the first opportunity since it was on the agenda. Then the first speaker would be Eric Wright. You've got to pull that microphone a little bit close to you.
I'm sorry?
Thank you. For those of you that don't know, that was Commissioner Hasegawa. Wasn't our guardian angel. So thank you for bringing that to our attention, and we'll they're taking a look to see what they're going to do to accomplish that.
For the record, she's also our guardian angel.
Any thoughts or ideas?
Sorry, Co-Chair Hasegawa, because you are joining the meeting through Teams, all you're getting is the Teams PowerPoint. If you want to go to our website browser, you'll be able to see the full meeting and the people that are speaking. Does that make sense? I can send you a link.
Okay, thank you. We're going to proceed. Mr. Wright, please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. My name is Eric Wright. I'm with Portland Container. It's funny. A minute ago, I was just thinking the very first time I addressed this commission was in this room. I spent my entire morning driving up from Portland thinking about what I might say. And then I got here and I said absolutely nothing of what I thought about the entire way. And I walked out to that hallway over there. And I don't know if you remember this, Commissioner Calkins, but you were the first commissioner I ever met. And you had some kind words to say. And I felt a little less foolish. And that is something I haven't soon forgotten. Over the years, I've gotten to know many of you. And I appreciate the time that we have all spent. I'm really heartened to see Matt Schrapp of HTA and representatives from WTA here this morning. I feel going into 2025, we're going to have the type of representation that we could have only dreamed of during Clean Truck. But as the guy who kind of fired off the flare to the trucking community about the gate efficiency program, I thought the least I could do is come and say some words. And when I was thinking about what I might say today, I ran across a quote from Theodore Roosevelt that I thought pretty well summed it up, and I'd like to share that with you. The quote is, it's far better to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to rank amongst those poor spirits who never enjoy nor suffer much, because they live in the gray twilight, not knowing victory or defeat. And I submit to you, we currently live in that gray twilight, that we don't know victory, and we certainly don't know defeat. Now, I don't know what the path forward is for the gate efficiency program. And I'm not going to sit here and complain that I know what the path forward is for Northwest Seaport Alliance. But there are three things that I've come to the conclusion of that I'd like to share with the commission this morning. Three things that I feel that we must do. The first is we need to learn from our history. We've had a lot of conversations over the last 5 years, and a lot of notes have been taken. It seems like we keep having the same conversations over and over again. It seems like those notes have been lost, and we need to revisit some of that. The second is we need to learn the why. Why do things work here? Why do things work in LA? Why do things work in Canada? Why do things work in Oakland? And then we need to bring the best parts of those things here. And then we need to sprinkle in the special sauce that is the Northwest Seaport Alliance to make this place work. It's not acceptable to just bring a program out of Oakland or just bring a program out of Canada. It's not acceptable to cheat on homework, and it's not acceptable to do that. The last thing is we're going to have a plan. We have a clean air plan. We have the Northwest Clean Air Strategy. It tells me exactly where the Northwest Seaport Alliance wants to go in the next 20 years. And I can plan to that. This business is expensive and we have to do capital investments. So tell me, please, what is the terminal plan for the next 20 years? Is the plan to have a pay-to-play system? Is the plan to have a universal appointment system with a single point of entry? What is the plan? If I had $100 million today to invest in this gateway, what would you tell me? And how would you tell me that investment is safe? I'm tired of seeing every 6 months the plan change. I don't know how to plan around that. I'm tired of having the same conversations over and over again. A little less than a year ago, I posed this question to the commission, and I'm going to pose it again. When I go to TPM and I talk to people from all over the United States and all over the world, what am I going to tell them? What am I going to tell them about this gateway? I love this gateway. I come here and I speak on a fairly regular basis. I get involved in every way I can. I will attend every meeting and I will answer every phone call. But despite all that involvement and despite knowing it better than most, I still don't know what the answer to that is. I still don't know what I would tell somebody if they told me they had $100 million to invest here today. And I'm hoping that you can answer that question for me.
Thank you, Mr. Wright.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate your comments. Mike Rayburn?
Based on the opening statements by Mr. Wolf, I'm declining my public comment.
All right, thank you, sir. George Mitchell?
Good morning, commissioners. John, Don. My name is George Mitchell. I'm the general manager of Mercer Logistics. Here to talk about the gate fee. One of the fundamental problems with that and discussing with our customers is for years the goal, turn time goal, had been 60 minutes. So now the goal is 75 minutes, but with a fee. So in terms, in standards, typically, in our industry, the customer gets 1 hour free at the port. So, if they're still going to be paying wait time and a fee, that's an issue for them. And I think, we're lowering the goalpost while incentivizing the terminals to well, I'm going to say incentivizing them, but going back to the 60 minutes to now 75 minutes, plus they're now getting paid, for each transaction, doesn't go in the right direction. Doesn't go in the right direction. Our business is about productivity and efficiency. So you've probably heard me say this many years ago, companies now need 2.5 times to 3 times the amount of fleet and drivers to do the same amount of work we used to do prior to 2014. So that reset, in the last quarter of 2014 and 2015, it completely reset, the parameters of productivity that we were prior seeing in our terminals. It's a very expensive business that we're in. Lowering the goal while raising our costs, I believe, is the wrong direction. So just keep that in mind. I know a lot of people behind me that are going to have their own take, but that's the part I wanted to bring up. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Brandon Runloff?
I'm good.
Thank you, sir. Felicia Merritt?
I also declined a comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Carl, I'm not sure if it's Han.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
Carl, if you could tell us who you're with.
Sure.
Thank you.
So I'm the Senior Director of Operations with NFI Cal Cartage. I oversee our operations here in the PNW, Oakland, and Los Angeles, Long Beach. So I'll keep it short and sweet. I just want to echo Mr. Mitchell's comments. We're having a hard time explaining to our customers how we are going to be able to measure these quicker turn times, how this gate fee is going to supplement quicker turn times. With Husky being the pilot terminal, which already has hoot gates, weekend gates, that customers are paying direct for, we're still seeing turn times well over 75 minutes. So it's very hard for us to explain, and I think our customers have communicated that to you, where the justification is for additional cost in this gateway. And the last thing that we want to do, like Mr. Wolf outlined, is lose any market share to LA Long Beach, which will surely happen if cost keeps going up in this gateway. So just want to make sure that we're all cognizant about that. But thank you for keeping this on your guys' radar and trying to work with us to improve this.
Thank you for being here, sir.
Yep.
Matt Schaub. I'm not sure I pronounced that correctly.
It's close enough, Commissioner. Thank you. Good morning. Still morning. My name is Matt Schaub. I'm Chief Executive Officer of the Harbor Trucking Association. We submitted written comments, so there's no need to rehash everything that's been submitted to you already, nor do I need to elaborate, I don't think, any further on some of the comments that have been made. Our organization represents motor carriers doing business on the west coast of the United States, more or less from San Diego up to Seattle, Tacoma. We have the largest fleets in the country, as well as the small one-to-two truck owner-operators as part of our organization. Many members who are part of our organization are here with us today, as well as many others who couldn't make it because of other priorities or commitments. But nevertheless, their desire to be part of the conversation, something that Mr. Wolf had alluded to earlier, the compromise, so to speak, of trying to figure out how we're going to address the underlying issues that are causing these turn times to continually go up. I was just informed from a member last night that they had a truck at Husky. They had four different trucks, one that got kicked out at 4:30, just trying to retrieve a single empty container, with two other ones that spent 4 hours merely trying to retrieve a single empty container for our American export customers. It might sound ludicrous, and I would say that we don't need a compromise, but we need collaboration. I'm always of the mindset that you gotta have to start somewhere. I think that it's clear. But to quote the immortal Wayne Gretzky, and because I don't have a good quote like Eric did from a statesman such as Roosevelt, but to quote Wayne Gretzky, we got to skate to where the puck is. And if we're trying to get to where the puck is, to have best-in-class service, to have shorter turn times, to have a trucker experience that truly is best-in-class, we need collaboration. While I think that there is a clear motivation by all those in the room to want to be working with the staff, the Seaport Alliance, as well as the managing members, to get to a place where we don't have to worry about our customers diverting cargo to other gateways throughout this country. This is a global economy, clearly, but here in the regional economy, as Mr. Wolf alluded to, jobs are critical. The American exporter relies on these vessels to get their product to market across the entire world. And if we can't be together on the same page and working towards the same goal, skating where that puck is, then we're never going to achieve what the intended outcome is, which is the best-in-class service. So we, again, not to rehash everything that's been put in the written comments, but we're here ready with our membership to work with the Seaport Alliance in trying to craft something that actually is going to address the root causes of why there are turn times that are exceeding 4 and 5 hours. There's many questions that remain, but I can assure you that we will be here ready to engage and always providing resources however is needed to make sure that we get to where we're trying to go. So I appreciate the opportunity to comment. It's my first time up here in the Seaport Alliance making comment here. I've been trying to get a better perspective on some of the challenges that our members have dealt with for the past 3 years, and it finally culminated here with this gate fee. So looking forward to further dialogue, and we appreciate the opportunity to comment.
Thank you. Inderpal Tatla, and excuse me if I've mispronounced that. T-A-T-L-A of Portside Logistics. Okay. Yes, sir.
John, thank
you. Please correct me. I'm sure I mispronounced your name, sir.
It was pretty close, Commissioner Inderpal.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm here to represent the small fleet in this industry. I know we talk about large fleets, people who move maybe 50, 100, 150 containers a day, but there is also people who are working in this industry who move 5, 10, 15 containers a day with the help of 2 to 4 trucks. As one of the previous members commented, that the cost of these operations have gone pretty high in the last 3 to 4 years, we believe that the burden of efficiency is being forced on the truckers. We obliged to the appointment systems at the terminals, which again increased our admin work and increased the size of fleet that we require to accomplish the same amount of jobs that we used to do prior to the COVID or prior to appointment system. This gate fees is going to put extra burden, not just financially, but also in the admin ways possible on the truckers, and I'm here to decline it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And that's the last name I have on the list of people that wanted to address this topic, but I will invite anyone else who's present that would like to make a statement to please step forward. Seeing no one, thank you for all of your comments. Appreciate it very much. Appreciate your attendance. Ron Manuel, go ahead and have a seat. Ron, you're here to talk about item 9B, I think, on the agenda.
Correct. Thank you, Commissioners. I want to touch on the trucking fee, though, quickly before I get to 9B. Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Ron Manuel. I'm a labor relations representative of ILWU Local 19 in the North Harbor. I would like to express our support to the trucking community in opposition to the fee being imposed upon them to subsidize Husky Terminal's gate operations. Operations should be paid by the terminal operator. When they make a deal to bring a customer to the terminal, they should pay for the operations that they employ. They should not try to foist that fee or cost onto a third party that simply is picking up cargo for a customer. They are simply picking up cargo to deliver to someone else. They should not be paying that fee. I would also like to speak in favor of item 9B to repair Terminal 18 in the North Harbor. As when Maersk relocated to Husky, which created this problem in the first place, the work opportunity for my members only supports about one third of our approximately 700 members. There's a human task or a human effect on that relocation that's drastic. It harmed the truckers, it harmed the longshoremen, it harmed us all, it harmed our reputation as a gateway. Thank you very much for the time to speak.
Thank you for your comments. That concludes our public comments, and thank you once again, those of you that have taken the time to come here and express your viewpoints. We appreciate it very much. Thank you. Yes, Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, just very quickly, John, you had mentioned earlier about, you know, pausing this and then having some suggestions that were coming forward. I'm just curious as to the makeup of who you're going to be talking to, because I think it's critical that, I know 19's here, I think 52 is here, I don't know if 98 and 23 are, but it can't be just one segment of that, you know, industry. So we need to make sure. So I'm just curious as to what you're looking at.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as, so you're reading my mind. I appreciate Matt sharing the word collaboration. I think that is key. And so in that spirit, what I'm envisioning is having a subset of the trucking community with a subset of our labor force and the terminal operators and ourselves, and I may be missing someone, but at least those four entities coming together in attacking this issue together. So that's the approach that I would suggest.
Thank you for that question. Commissioner Meyer.
Yeah, I hope, John, that you can share a work plan with us just to send it out, because this is such an important topic, because I think one of the leadership qualities, John, that you've given us and constantly remind us, if we're going to be best in class, we better be best in class in everything we do. And terminal operations is key. So as a commissioner, I would like to know what the work plan is to be shared with all of us.
Any additional questions or comments before we move? Commissioner Fellman.
I've been this big fan of the waiting for the PCS system to come online, and now we have the national flow and thinking that we're gonna flow right through all these problems. And then I just heard that one small truck association gentleman who says that having an appointment system requires more trucks to do the same work, which was completely counterintuitive to me. And it would be terrible to me if indeed a more efficient system requires more trucks to do the same work. And perhaps we can at another time explain to us how that downside occurs.
John. Thank you. Did you have a comment, sir?
Too late for a comment?
I'll give you an opportunity. Remember, you were here just a month ago, so you have a follow-up comment. You're allowed.
Okay, I'm Al from PCC Logistics. I've been around for a little while. This subject has been talked about in this room for at least 30 years. When Evergreen was occupying that terminal where Husky is today, that gate is exactly the same before they built the new terminal. And the new terminal repeated the same problem that was at the Husky terminal today, which is the gate is the problem. So if we throw money at it and a fee, how is that going to change anything? I mean, that's what everybody just said here, right? In my opinion, how does that change the gate?
Thank you. Appreciate your comment. And I'm sure that this group John's going to put together is going to be discussing that issue. So the next item on the agenda is item number seven, work groups and committee reports. As I understand it, there are no work group or committee reports at this time. Is that correct? Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is item number 8, which is the consent agenda. The consent agenda are items which do not generally call for a debate or further discussion, but any member has the opportunity to move something from the consent agenda to our regular action agenda. The consent agenda for this meeting includes 8A, which is approving the December 3rd, 2024 minutes, 8B, which is approval of disbursements totaling $15,213,156 on check numbers 435 through 576, as well as approving the electronic payments issued during the period from November 26, 2024 through December 19, 2024, as certified by the Northwest Seaport Auditor. Also on the consent agenda is item 8C. Strike that. As I mentioned earlier, 8C has been removed from the agenda, as I mentioned, because it's premature at this time. Also on the agenda, however, is 8D, which is adopting Alliance Resolution 2025-1 and 2025-2, amending the Delegation of Authority Master Policy and the Sixth Amended Bylaws of the Northwest Seaport Alliance Managing Members. Also included on the consent agenda is 8E, which authorizes the Chief Executive Officer or his delegate to accept an Environmental Protection Agency Clean Ports Program Climate and Air Quality Planning Grant of $3 million to fund the shovel-ready shore power design and zero-emission infrastructure planning at Washington United Terminal and the zero-emission infrastructure planning at East Blair 1 Terminal. And the final item on the consent agenda is item 8F, which is project authorization in the amount of $3,245,000 for a total authorized amount of $3,590,000 for work associated with the Terminal 5 roof replacement. That's a master identification number N104100. Are there any requests by any of the commissioners to remove the items that I've identified from the consent agenda? Hearing no objection, Commissioner Hasegawa, are you able to hear me?
No objection.
Thank you very much. Do I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented?
So moved. Second.
The motion is made by Commissioner Ang and seconded by Commissioner Keller. All those in favor, please say, are there any additional comments on that or questions? There being none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone in opposition? The motion carries unanimously. The next item on the agenda then is the first action agenda item. It's 9A. It's Water Resources Act Section 2106 and Harbor Maintenance Tax funds to be utilized on existing projects. I think Commissioner Wolf, did you have anything else to add on that? I'm sorry.
No, just that our CFO, David Morrison, will be presenting this item.
Thank you. Mr. Morrison.
Hello, commissioners. I'm going to keep this brief. I hope it's relatively straightforward. The reason that it's a special meeting is there are specific actions being requested from the Port of Tacoma, the Port of Seattle, and the Northwest Seaport Alliance. So I'll read this verbatim, the action requested. Request the Port of Seattle Commission approve the use of fiscal year 2024 WERDA Section 2106 and HMT funds, which I've abbreviated as Section 2106/HMT funds, on eligible projects in progress. I have an identical request for the Port of Tacoma Commission to approve the use of fiscal year 2024, section 2106/HMT funds on eligible projects in progress. And I'm requesting the managing members authorize that section 2106/HMT funds received by the Northwest Seaport Alliance from the two home ports be treated as contributed capital to be used for eligible projects in the respective home harbors, and further authorizing the return of cash to the two home ports for expense projects on other cash. That third action is required based on the structure of the Northwest Seaport Alliance charter, and it goes back to the original formation of the alliance and how we had to protect and continue to protect the interest of bondholders for bonds issued by the Port of Tacoma and the Port of Seattle. So that's some just technical accounting for making sure we follow the rules on the bond for bondholders. So let me give you and everyone behind me a review of Section 2106 and HMT funds. The harbor maintenance tax is generated through taxation of inbound cargo applied on the beneficial cargo owners, which bring in international cargo through the harbor and additionally cruise revenue. Now, we really have no control over that HMT and the value of the cargo. The different companies bring in their cargo to the different gateways depending, and that they could go to LA, they could go to New York, New Jersey, but the harbor maintenance tax is based on the value of the cargo that's brought in. The Water Resource Reform and Development Act, the WRDA, Section 2106 funds and HMT funds are appropriated through Congress and distributed by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and we'll get to how much was distributed to the Port of Tacoma and the Port of Seattle in a few slides. These funds are made available to the home ports to fund only those projects that meet specific criteria. In the past, we have reviewed the six criteria for the use of Section 2106 and harbor maintenance tax funds. It is relatively limited, so you can't just use it for everything. There are requirements on how HMT will be used. Now, as we've discussed in the past, the Section 2106 and HMT funds must be spent in the harbor where they are generated. And the funds can be spent in the year allocated and on future years. So 2024 funds can be used in 2024 and 2025. We just can't go backwards. And below is a table of the fiscal year 2024 amounts shown in the table. So each port received about $3 million of 2106 funds. And then the port, in total, the Port of Tacoma received $28.9 million, the Port of Seattle $25.1 million. So for the gateway, a total of $54 million from harbor maintenance tax, from the federal government's harbor maintenance tax fund. So in terms of usage, we prioritize the use of these funds for NWSA projects or projects that benefit the NWSA directly. We want to incentivize the home ports to collaborate in support of the gateway, and both home ports benefit from any of this federal funding. We want to spend the funds as quickly as possible on eligible projects, because sitting in the bank, the HMT funds don't do us any good, right? And we apply and have historically applied the Section 2106 and HMT funds similar to grants. They reduce the 50-50 home port split on any project funding. That's consistent with how we treat grants. It's consistent how we've done it in the prior years. So what we're asking is that, we hope to come back with a policy in a few after this meeting, so we won't have to come back project by project as we have to do for the 2024 funds. So the next slide is a list of the existing projects underway, previously approved by the board, the Northwest Seaport Alliance, but funded by Port of Seattle Harbor Maintenance Tax. Specifically, I should restate that, funded by Section 2106 funds, because we didn't receive harbor maintenance tax until this year. So these projects were previously approved, and then when we received the 2023 Section 2106 funds, the home ports voted on a resolution in the alliance saying that the harbor maintenance, the Section 2106 funds would be used for HMT eligible projects. Well, we're about to finish up the Section 2106 funds for 2023. They're almost all used up. And then these projects would be split 50-50 if we don't use the home ports HMT funds from 2024. So the Port of Seattle, as I mentioned, received about $25.1 million in funds this year. Approving this action will reduce the available Port of Seattle Section 2106 and HMT funds down to $20,500,000. In the South Harbor for Tacoma, we're asking for harbor maintenance tax funds in the amount of $3.6 million approximately. These amounts, by the way, are based on estimated amounts to spend to the previously authorized amounts. So the Port of Tacoma received $28.9 million in funds. This board has approved $4.9 million of projects to use HMT, specifically the tote dredge, the Pierce County, the tote maintenance dredge. Got to make sure I use the right words because deepening is not allowed by HMT. So tote maintenance dredge, Pierce County terminal maintenance dredge, and the tow wall designs at Husky and Washington United terminals. So $4.9 million of your 28.9 million has been used. The Port of Tacoma also has chosen to use $4 million for the knuckle dredge project in the Blair Waterway. So with those combined projects plus this $3.6 million, the Port of Tacoma would have approximately $16.3 million of 2024 Section 2106 and HMT funds available. So with that, I'm asking the Port of Seattle Commission to approve fiscal year 2024 WERDA Section 2106 and HMT funds on eligible projects in progress. Second request is the Port of Tacoma Commission approve the use of fiscal year 2024 WERDA Section 2106 and HMT funds on eligible projects in progress. And request the managing members authorize the WERDA 2106 HMT funds received by the NWSA from the home ports be treated as contributed capital to be used for eligible projects in the respective home harbors, and further authorizing the return of cash to the two home ports for expense projects as other cash.
Thank you. Before we have some additional questions and comments, we have kind of a complicated process of adopting these items. Since the Port of Seattle is acting independently, the Port of Tacoma is acting independently, and the Northwest Seaport Alliance is also acting. So they're all separate but related actions by home ports and the managing members. So I'm going to first call upon approval and acceptance from Chair Hasegawa, I would ask if someone from the Port of Seattle Commission is prepared to make a motion and a second to approve the use of Port of Seattle's fiscal year 2024 Water Resource Development Act Section 2106 and Harbor Maintenance Tax Funds on eligible projects in progress. Do I have a
second? So moved.
Second.
Who made the motion?
Commissioner Cho.
Thank you. Moved by Commissioner Cho, second by Commissioner Calkins. Likewise, I would ask for a motion and a second from a Port of Tacoma Commission member to approve the use of the Port of Tacoma's fiscal year 2024 Water Resource Development Act Section 2106 and Harbor Maintenance Tax Funds on eligible projects in progress.
So moved.
Second.
Motion was made by Commissioner Meyer, seconded by Commissioner Keller. Now the third motion for consideration before we further discuss this is a motion from the managing members, Seattle and Tacoma, therefore any of the 10 commissioners, to authorize that Water Resource Development Act Section 2106 and Harbor Maintenance Tax Funds received by the Northwest Alliance from the home ports will be treated as contributed capital to be used for eligible projects in the respective home port harbors, and further authorizing the return of cash to the two home ports for expense projects as other cash. Do I have such a motion?
So moved.
I think a motion was by Commissioner Fellman and the second was Commissioner Hasegawa, I believe. Okay, thank you. Now at this point in time, I think those motions, does anyone have any questions or comments on those motions? Seeing none, Commissioner Marzano.
Just very quickly, because David, you made a comment about spending this money. I think it's important that people understand we have many, many projects where we can eliminate what we have with regards to the HMT funds tomorrow if it was brought forward. But I think it's important that people understand this is a fight every year to get those funds. And by having money in the bank or not allocated to some of the projects, it makes it a little bit more difficult to go back to Congress and say we need those funds. So I hope we continue to send that message and let them know that we've been trying to hold Ryan's here for years to make this a continuous, not a continuous ask, but something in place forever. So let's keep advocating for that. And then you mentioned earlier also that you hopefully will come back with a motion that will maybe make this less complicated in the future. Am I here? Am I correct?
That's correct, because I'm a co-star in the next presentation as well. And you'll see we've had to come to every projects for the 2024 money, and it seems less efficient than coming back to a policy. And I think we can reach a policy where the two home ports can agree on the use of harbor maintenance tax. So we'll be coming back in a couple months.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions in comments? Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, thank you. David, on item three, it talks about returning cash to the two home ports for expense projects. Do you have a situation of returning cash for capitalized project?
So there's the normal flow of funds designated for bondholders in the bonds that the Port of Seattle and Port of Tacoma commissions have authorized and issued. And in that, the flow of funds is revenue comes to the ports, then you pay your operating expenses, and then before you pay any project expenses, you have to make sure you have funds to pay your bondholders. Right? So the rules within the charter are structured around those rules within the bonds that were issued and subsequently issued for the two home ports. And so what happens is the cash, when on a monthly basis we look at our capital spending, we split it 50-50 mm-hmm. for every project except those which are HMT eligible, and so we collect 100% based on the HMT. And so there's a normal process for that. On the cash flow related to operations, where I need that designation as I have in the third request number three, it's because of that protection for bondholders, the cash flow is more complicated, and I'm trying to make it clear that we can return the HMT to the home ports because it couldn't go without that designation. It would sit within the alliance and just build up.
Okay, I'm glad you know what you're talking about,
because I have no clue. It's about accounting mechanics associated with those two issues, protecting bondholders and...
Really, my question was, what triggered my interest was you made reference to expense projects versus, depreciated projects.
Right, so the maintenance dredges are expense projects, and several of these are expense projects, so that's why we're having...
That's why the reference.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry if I went off. Issue is, I'm sure you're all interested in the rules for bondholders.
There will be additional opportunities for questions when we get to the next item as well. Any additional questions or comments at this time? Unless Commissioner Hasegawa has any objection, I would then call for a vote, first of all, with regard to the Port of Seattle commissioners in favor of approving the use of the Port of Seattle's fiscal year 2024 Water Resource Development Act Section 2106 and Harbor Maintenance Tax Funds on eligible projects in progress. All Port of Seattle commissioners in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there any opposition? That vote passed unanimously, 4-0. And I'll call now for the question with regard to the Port of Tacoma commissioners. All Port of Tacoma commissioners in favor of approving the use of the Port of Tacoma's fiscal year 2024 Water Resources Development Act, Section 2106, and Harbor Maintenance Tax Funds on eligible projects in progress, please say aye.
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 Is there any opposition? That motion also passed unanimously. Finally, item number A3 is a motion before the entire body, the managing members, to authorize that Section 2106 HMT funds received by the Northwest Seaport Alliance from the home port be treated as contributed capital to be used for eligible projects in the respective home port harbors, and further authorize the return of cash to the two home ports for expense projects as other cash. All members of the managing members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passed unanimously 9-0.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you. And those were really mouthfuls to get
They
to
were. Them. There's a lot of words and abbreviations and a desire to get through it quickly. So
you
thank
wanted
you.
To test me on that.
Aren't you glad to be co-chairing again?
It's a test. The next item, I'll call on CEO Wolf to introduce item number 9B.
Sure. Thank you, Chair McCarthy. The second item, 9B, is consideration for approval of project at Terminal 18, a POW cap repair project. And included in that separately is a request by the Port of Seattle to approve HMT and or 2106 funds to support the funding of that project. And presenting today, we have William Shelton. Welcome, William, and David Morrison. And I see Aaron is here as well. So who should I hand it off to, Aaron, to
I'm
lead
just here
it?
To thank give you. A quick introduction
okay,
to it as well.
Great, Aaron. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Aaron DeBrew with the NWSA Real Estate Department. The work that's being discussed benefits a site that's under a long-term lease with SSA at Terminal 18. In accordance with this lease, certain structural repairs are the responsibility of the NWSA, and the lease specifically calls out piling repairs as being a lessor responsibility. With that in mind, real estate supports this work to ensure that continued use can occur for the operations with these critical assets. And with that, I'm going to pass it on to William.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is William Shelton. I'm the project manager for the T18 pile cap repair project. Today we're here to request construction authorization for the project. Request the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance grant project authorization in the amount of $51,160,000 for a total authorized amount of $56,100,000 for work associated with the T18 pile cap repairs, master identification number U00687. Request the Port of Seattle Commissioners dedicate $3 million of FY 2024 Water Resource Development Act Section 2106 Harbor Maintenance Tax Funds to fund the estimated June to December 2024 and 2025 eligible costs for work associated with the T18 pile cap repairs, master identification number U00687. A little bit of background on this project. During T18 undergoes routine condition assessments, and during the routine condition assessment that ended at the in early 2023, which assessed development unit 6303, development unit 6701, and development unit 7302. They assessed these development units at Terminal 18 and identified that the pile caps of development unit 7302 were in relatively poor condition and in need of repair in the imminent future. And then they also identified a couple of ancillary items which also should be repaired while they're undergoing the pile cap repairs. That includes the deck drains and four piles in development unit 7303. These repairs are needed to continue safe operations at Terminal 18. As a result, in October of 2023, the Northwest Seaport Alliance authorized design authorization. We are currently reviewing the 100% design set, and we are going to be ready to move into construction later this year. It should be noted that whenever this project was received design authorization, it was under the name of the T18 Dock Rehab. That name has been switched to the T18 Pile Cap Repair Project as a means of facilitating discussions with the environmental agencies such as USAIS. As we've discussed kind of what the scope is, make it clear on what the scope of this project is and that it didn't involve any underwater work. Another item that was discussed with the agencies was that it was determined that this project would impact local Native American fishing during the months of August to November. End of November. So a decision was made by the Northwest Seaport Alliance to not perform this project. This project will not have any construction going on during the months of the tribal fishery. We evaluated the construction schedule, and we noticed that based off of the planned award date of April, that what it would do is it would line up to where the construction contractor would only have about a month of on-site construction before they'd have to demobilize for the 2025 fishing season. So the decision was made to push the award date back to July of 2025. This would minimize risk to the construction contractor and also the project overall by allowing the contractor adequate time to prepare their pre-construction submittals, get their subs in line, get the scaffolding that we anticipate is going to be needed to be assembled beneath the pier deck to execute this construction. So whenever December of 2025 comes, they're able to roll on site and begin work. And then it also mitigates the risk, almost entirely mitigate the risk of having to do this work over two tribal fishing windows and resulting in an additional mobilization and demobilization, which also would decrease the impacts that we would have to the terminal operator. Work complete to date. The condition assessment, as stated before, was completed in April of 2023. We're currently received the 100% design set from our engineering consultant, and it's currently being reviewed. We also performed an independent cost estimate, which we received in October of 2024, and we also performed a risk analysis, which was completed in November of 2024. That risk analysis was based on the 90% design, and another risk analysis is going to be performed once construction has started. The map here of where Terminal 18 is on the eastern end of Harbor Island in Seattle, please note that north is pointed to the left in this photo. Here is a little aerial shot, satellite shot, showing where development at 7302 lands on the port on T18. Also below is a snip from the condition assessment report showing that development at 7302 is the pile caps have begun to reach their end of service life and are in need of repair. Here's an elevation view giving you an idea of what a pile cap is. It's the concrete beam that spans between the piles and supports the pier deck, and the crane and the trucks and everything that goes on top of it. So this construction authorization is going to fund the following items. So it's going to fund the actual construction. It's going to fund the Port of Seattle Construction Management Services third-party special inspections to inspect the work that the construction contractor is performing. It's going to fund designer construction support services, Port of Seattle Contract Administration, as well as a small amount of Port of Seattle environmental support. So once this work gets underway in December of 2025, the contractor's gonna have to come out, they're gonna have to close down a lane at Terminal 18, cut holes into the pier deck, and then erect a scaffold. We assume that they're gonna have to erect a scaffolding system underneath the pier to then perform repairs on the pile cap. I say we assume that because that's what was done at Terminal 46, but we're not gonna dictate contractors' means and methods. So we're just following on what was done at previous terminals here within the Northwest Seaport Alliance. So they're going to work underneath the pier deck on the scaffolding, and they're going to be able to access it through the holes which they cut in the deck, and then they'll work from north to south as they begin repairing the pile caps. We've been coordinating heavily with the terminal operator to make sure that we do not impact their operations during this construction to as much as possible. So we worked out which truck lane they're going to be accessing, how the contractor is going to be accessing the site, when the contractor is going to be on site, and then how they're going to access specific areas whenever terminal operations are undergoing to minimize impact. So here we have a plan view showing how that merge is going to happen on T18 at development unit 7302. So we're going to close down lane one, which we've identified with the terminal operator is least used lane. And their preferred lane to be closed. You can see the dark squares are the access hatches that are going to be cut. And then on the next slide, you can see this is an elevation view. Sorry, it's a little whited out. But you can see the dashed line is the under deck scaffolding that they're going to have to erect to then do the pile cap repairs. It should be noted that we also received confirmation from the USAs and other agencies that work can be performed in the months of February to July, that it's not considered in-water work as long as it's done at low tide, which they wouldn't be out there when it's inundated anyways. So no impacts to the project with that. But moving on.
Who determined that? That was Army Corps?
USAs and Fish and Wildlife as well. With our Port of Seattle environmental folks, we're doing that coordination with them and with tribal fishery. So other details to note, so that we did a independent cost estimate, and that value came in for construction at just under $44 million, and it was within 0.2% of the engineer's estimate that we had. So we're fairly confident with the estimated construction costs. And then we've also, as stated before, performed the risk analysis, and the P85 value came back at the $56,100,000 for the total project cost. So that risk value accounts for risk that we've discussed at the project workshop, and accounts for market risk as well as any project risks that we identified. So project schedule, we're working on finalizing our bid documents, and they should be finalized by March 30th of 2025, looking to advertise April 18th with bid openings June 24th and contract award July 14th. Again, contractors not going to be able to mobilize on site until December of 2025 to avoid the tribal fishery, but we should be finishing the project June 11th of 2027. Here we have a financial summary with our requested amount of $51,160,000 for construction costs and a total project authorization of $56,100,000.
On this slide, also, just to give you perspective, the $56 million T18 as a business for the Northwest Seaport Alliance produces about $34.7 million in revenue. And we don't have a lot of operating costs because the original cost of construction of T18 remains on the Port of Seattle books, so it's $33.8 million of income. So you'll see a couple of years worth of cash flow will pay for these improvements, plus HMT funds. The cost, $56.1 million will be capitalized and depreciated over approximately 30 years, resulting in about $1.8 million in annual depreciation to the Northwest Seaport Alliance. In terms of source of funds, the estimated cost of construction for this project is $51.16 million, and the estimated budget is $56.1 million. When we were here in front of you last October with the budget, we had a budget of $53.7 million. That budget will be increased when we come back to you for the 2026 budget to the 56.1. The work completed since 2023 was previously authorized and is on schedule to be completed on time and under budget. As of July 2024, almost $700,000 worth of fiscal year 2022 and fiscal year 2023 Section 2106 funds have been used as cash to fund this project. The T18 pile cap repair project meets the requirements for the use of Section 2106 and HMT funds. And the Port of Seattle received, as I mentioned in my prior presentation, $25 million worth of funds in 2024, fiscal year 2024. So we're requesting at this time the use of $3 million of fiscal year 2024 Section 2106 and HMT funds from the Port of Seattle to fund the estimated June through December 2024 and all of the 2025 HMT eligible portions of this request. We will submit, Commissioner Marzano, a recommendation for additional funding via separate action and hopefully a policy that meets the requirements. If a policy isn't put in place, just so you know, if no further action is taken on funding, then any spending in excess of the $3 million will be provided by the normal 50-50 project split as specified by the Northwest Seaport Alliance Charter.
Moving on to environmental impacts and review. This project falls under the programmatic pile repair maintenance permits, which includes SEPA and Shoreline Management Act repair and maintenance exemptions. So with this, we just have to give a notification, and currently permitting is on track to be finalized for a construction award. We are doing an internal Port of Seattle stormwater compliance review as a part of this project as well. In closing, we're requesting the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance grant project authorization in the amount of $51,160,000 for a total authorized amount of $56,100,000 for work associated with the T18 pile cap repairs, master identification number U00687. Request the Port of Seattle Commission dedicates $3 million of the FY 2024 Water Resource Development Act Section 2106 Harbor Maintenance Tax Funds to fund the estimated June to December 2024 and 2025 eligible costs for work associated with the T18 pile cap repairs, master identification number U00687. Pending any questions, this concludes our brief.
Thank you for the presentation. There was nothing to add to that. Thank you. This request calls for actions by both the Alliance for the Project Authorization and from the Port of Seattle for use of its HMT funds. So it requires a motion, and so I'm going to call for a motion from the managing members, from commissioners as the managing members, to grant project authorization in the amount of $51,160,000 for a total authorized amount of $51,100,000 for work associated with T18 pile cap repairs. Do I have a motion and second from the managing members?
So moved.
I'll second.
Moved by Commissioner Marzano and seconded by Commissioner Cho. I would also then like to advance with Chair Hasegawa's approval. I would call for a motion of the Port of Seattle Commission to dedicate $3 million of fiscal 2024 Section 2106 HMT funds to fund the estimated June to December 2024 and 2025 eligible costs for work associated with T18 pile cap repairs. Do I have such a motion from a Port of Seattle commissioner?
So moved. I'll second.
Moved by Commissioner Fellman, seconded by Commissioner Cho. Now, at this point in time, are there any questions or comments from all of the managing members on the project authorization itself?
I do.
Commissioner Fellman.
Well, in light of the testimony we just heard and the congestion that we already have at T18, removing a lane sounds concerning, and the mitigation, how confident are we in how that works?
So we've been coordinating fairly closely with SSA on this. I will say the northern end of this development is on their berth 3, which is one of their most heavily used berths, but the majority of it is on berth 4, which is less used by SSA. So the plan is to come in and address the northern end first and then roll our way down so that we can get out of their way and have the least amount of impacts to their operations at berth 3 for the duration of the project. We've been coordinating as close as we can with them. The crew sizes should be fairly small that come in and off. Once they're out there, they should just be able to stay there. It's just that one truck lane that's being impacted, again, at the very southern end of berth 3. And they only have four. We've worked with Northwest Seaport Alliance Logistics as well. They've only got four cranes that they can operate on a vessel at a time. They have four open truck lanes as well. So they almost always have that empty lane as a spare.
I you've given this some thought, but this is one of those questions where I thought that actually taking input from the Trucking Association and our longshore folks might just be, you know, validation of what we think is the good idea, instead of, you know, just benefiting from their direct experience if that hasn't already occurred.
Opening to hear any recommendations. We have been coordinating through SSA. I can get with the project team afterwards, and we can figure out possibly the best way to do so.
I think you just turn around.
Commissioner, the operation on the wharf does not impact the yard operation typically. They're somewhat separate. So it should have minimal, if any, impact on the trucking community that is active in the yard. Absolutely, labor has, it impacts labor. And so when we're talking about coordination with SSA, I'm trusting that we're coordinating with SSA and our labor partners, and we'll follow up on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any additional questions or comments? Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, thank you. As a person who's interested in deck cranes, did you at any time consider the idea that with this massive construction project on 18, that you would connect the deck cranes to the stormwater system?
It was not considered as a part of the scope. I would have to talk with environmental, but I think once we start doing that, that opens us up to a much more involved project than just repairing the pile caps. What our repair on the deck drains is going to be is we're going to be basically installing flashing on the bottom side, a drip edge, which is going to prevent water from going along the bottom of the deck panel and prevent further deterioration of that deck panel. So instead of the water coming down to the deck drain and sliding along the bottom of the panel, it's going to just drip off. That's the extent of the deck drain repairs.
I guess what I'm really probably saying is I'm an advocate for connecting deck drains to a stormwater system. And why wouldn't that be something we would consider at this stage? And yes, I would agree the scope would change dramatically, but I am very interested in when is the opportunity to present itself to do that? And I view this as an opportunity to do that. So that's why I'm asking that question.
Yes, for the record, Thais Howard, Director of Engineering for the Northwest Seaport Alliance. Understand your concern and where that would be. I just want to understand that notice that what William is saying, the deck drain work is just incidental. If you think about what this particular project is, it is about repairing the pile caps. I think just more in recent times, the discussion has started coming up around deck drains and how those should be handled. So from back when we first started this project, it was really a repair and maintenance project. And so that's why the deck drains tying them into stormwater would not have been considered as part of the scope of work. But we understand your concern at some point that may need to be a consideration. I just don't believe that this is the project where it would be considered under.
Thank you. Commissioner Fallon.
I appreciate, you know, when you have scaffolding at low tide, you know, what else can you do while you're there? And I appreciate the consideration. One of the things I was just thinking about is, like, I know we use, like, oyster shells for filtration in some places for stormwater, and whether or not these deck drains could actually hold a basket or whether there's something you might be able to do below in just thinking about having contingencies of ways to potentially be able to treat at a lower tech state. And again, I understand, like, when you dig a trench, you might as well put as many pipes in it as you can. That's your thinking, I'm sure. And so perhaps there is something lower tech we might be able to consider.
Thank you. The second part of this motion is the motion from the Port of Seattle regarding the use of its HMTO funds. Are there any questions or comments from Port of Seattle commissioners alone on that subject? Seeing none. We've got then the motion before the full managing members, all 10 commissioners, is to grant project authorization in the amount of $51,160,000 for a total authorized amount of $51,100,000 for work associated with the T18 pile cap repairs. All managing members, commissioners of the ports of Tacoma and Seattle, will vote on this. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay? The motion passed unanimously. The second motion then is before the Port of Seattle commissioners alone, and that's to dedicate $3 million of the 2024 Water Resource Development Act Section 2106 Harbor Maintenance Tax Funds to fund the estimated June to December 2024 and 2025 eligible costs for work associated with T18 pile cap repairs. For Port of Seattle commissioners alone, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there any opposition? The motion passed unanimously, 4-0. So that concludes this portion of the agenda. Now it's gonna come the exciting portion of the agenda. That's John Wolf's report on operations and other things, so please don't leave. There are no briefings scheduled for this month, so we'll continue to general business, and I'll call upon Executive Wolf to talk a bit about cargo and operation updates.
All right. Well, thank you, Chair McCarthy, and I'm going to be brief on the operational side. And we finished out the year in a strong way as compared to 2023. We don't have our final numbers yet. We expect, I'm looking at Commissioner Ang because she was correct. And we were underestimating our year-end success. I think Commissioner Ang suggested around 3.3 million, and we haven't seen
our... I wanted that to be the minimum.
That's the floor, okay, got it. We'll see what we can do there. It was a stronger year as compared to 2023, and we're hoping to build off that, expecting to build off that in 2025. So the other business was fairly strong as well. 2025 will be a bit more challenging with the automobile business due to some shifts back with some of that volume back to the East Coast. Yet, we still feel like we're in a strong position to continue to receive auto imports in a strong way in 2025. And the break bulk business looks fairly strong as well. So, looking at a few other items operationally, you all have been made aware that we've had some challenges with shore power at T5. And I want to thank Nicholas Gauthier and his team at T5. They've jumped on this issue, working with the vendor that installed the system. And Nicholas is now providing regular updates to me, and I will pass those along to all of you. The short story is we don't see a fix this week. We're hoping that within the next couple of weeks, we'll have that issue addressed and that vessels will again be able to use that shore power. A huge investment made by the Seaport Alliance. So more details to come, and I'll provide that to you separately. Also wanted to acknowledge that the business that was calling at Terminal 30 in 2024 has now moved to Terminal 5, as we expected. We have executed the pause agreement at your guidance at the last meeting. And we're working closely with the tenants and SSA to find a workable solution longer term. The good news is that business is staying in Seattle, and it is shifted over to Terminal 5. So last thing I wanted to mention is I know some of you have had the opportunity to spend some time with the Consul General of India. And he sends his regards. I met with him yesterday, and they are planning, the consulate is planning a trade, business-to-business trade forum with India later this month on the 27th at Bell Harbor. And for any of you that are interested in attending, I want to invite you to attend that great opportunity where we recognize that business growth is happening. Manufacturing is shifting to Southeast Asia, and India is part of that shift, and we need to be a player there. And so we will be there, and we might even have an opportunity to highlight the Northwest Seaport Alliance, and as important, be able to connect some of our customers that depend on that trade for their export market with business leaders from India. And then also connect with the importers that are looking at our gateway for imports from India. So it's a neat opportunity for us right here in our own backyard. And I want to thank Consul General for his leadership in that effort. So with that, I'll turn it back to Chair McCarthy.
Thank you. Any CEO announcements of any type?
I don't have any others other than
that's enough.
Let's
enough
have a great 2025.
All right, very good. Commissioner comments. Commissioner Ng.
First, a happy new year. And also, Director Wolf, I am glad that we're going to reach that 3.3 and beyond. And I do hope for more in 2025 as being the gateway of choice in uncertain times. That's what I'm framing our gateway as. I heard from the testimony earlier about where would we invest $100 million, but I thought we were investing $140 million in that Husky expansion that we voted for last month. And I guess I kind of want to, for myself and my fellow commissioners, to show how that will improve our gateway efficiency, trucker efficiency, when we do move around some of the structures for Husky and perhaps even for WT. And how that will lead to better turn times as well as more refrigerated capacity in our gateway and the timeline for that. And then in taking a look at these particular fees, you know, there were other companies that told me, charge us $50, we just want our stuff. But now we're charging $15 and there are some people who don't like that. So it's interesting who we hear from. Because at a coffee with commissioners, a trucking company literally said, I don't mind paying $50. But now I hear people don't even want to pay $15. The other part was that I took a look at California ports and East Coast ports. I don't want to follow anyone else's homework, as someone did say out there. What I do want to know what works best for us here in the Gateway. We do have different things. At the same time, I don't want to invent the wheel. So it would be nice to get more of an update, like we said. But also, particularly with that Thorn Road project, in which the Port of Tacoma was asked to get all these properties for the expansion, for efficiency, where is that headed, and what really is the timeline, and what really that $140 million will do for our gateway. So thank you, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Commissioner Cho.
Yeah, well, first of all, also think Happy New Year to you, everyone. Looking forward to a good 2025. But I also wanted to thank the stakeholders in the room today for their engagement. It would have been nice for us to have been able to address this prior to us voting on what happened, on the item. Personally, I only learned about this issue in the last couple of days, and so I'm looking forward to digging in a little deeper on where the core issue is. But with regards to the point of this, discussion is not, I don't think it really is about what you're going to charge us $15 or not. It's what do we get for $15, right? And from what I've gathered, there are no guarantees that a $15 charge will lead to better turn times, right? And from that perspective, I completely understand where the truckers are coming from. And I also empathize with the sentiment that this industry, unlike many other industries, as you all know, we won't run an airport as well at the Port of Seattle. It's far more fragmented and far less vertically integrated than other industries in logistics, which makes things so much more difficult and complicated for us to work through. Oftentimes, we pass things with the best intentions, not realizing what the consequences are. And I think that's why this engagement is necessary, and I sincerely hope our team gets back to the drawing board to figure out what the best mousetrap is for us to get those benefits of the fees, or if we need to pass those fees in another way. But I think, John, you said it correctly in that we're all aiming for the same goal here. And I think it's well within everyone's rights to have different opinions about how we get there. But to one of the commentators' points, we got to skate to where the puck is going. I think when it comes to where we all want to be, best in class and all that stuff, we're all in alignment there, and we just need to work out the details. So I look forward to seeing how the team comes back to us with some solutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Marzano, followed by then Co-Chair Hasegawa.
Yeah, thank you, and Happy New Year. I appreciate everybody who's been here and listening to what they had to say, and I would encourage whatever committee is formulated that it has the principles, and I know you'll do that, that will directly be able to make some concrete advancements moving forward. Having served on several committees, the easiest thing in the world to do is to point fingers. It's the reality of getting together and saying what can work and how do we get it to work. I think it's important that once that's established, that it doesn't just go away and say, okay, we've solved the day, but it's an ongoing committee that continually meets, makes adjustments as we move forward. Because the bottom line is we all just want to do one thing, and that is create better jobs, more jobs, and in an environment we all can learn to live with and like what we're doing. So I'm encouraged, and I know this commission and this managing members will do everything within its powers to give you the tools you'll need, John, to move forward.
Co-Chair Hasegawa.
Your leadership, Co-Chair McCarthy, and calling the vote on behalf of the Port of Seattle, and thank you so much for doing that. I also want to let folks know that Co-Chair McCarthy and I had the opportunity to meet, and we've also spoke with John and folks from staff at the Alliance, and I just wanted to share, as we hear from folks who provide public testimony today, what is the plan? What are we doing? What can we go to TPM and say? We have resurrected the conversation about a strategic plan, which is actively in the works and will be something that all people internally and externally will be able to refer to. But I understand that clarity is so important, It's important to articulate to our partners, both in the private sector as well as other folks in the public sector. So thank you so very much. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Commissioner Fallerman.
Just a couple of sort of political things in a small p. The HMT money that we have acquired, I think a letter to Cantwell and Murray telling them, look how we're spending this money, keep it flowing. I mean, thank you very much. We're being creative with it. That's collaborative between the two ports, documenting that this was not a theoretical thing. We're putting it to good use. I think that's pretty important. I think also, I don't know if we actually wrote a letter to the administration or the incoming administration about the concerns of tariffs on our business. It seems to me that we should just be on record. I think AAPA maybe has already done that. Whether or not we have these vulnerabilities with that Canada to the north, you know, it strikes me that it doesn't hurt to continue to weigh in, but I don't know if we did individually.
I think we lean on AAPA to have a collective voice from the Ports Association, yeah.
Okay, and then finally, it's either today or tomorrow there's going to be a new Washington State Secretary of Transportation, and if it is who we think it is, it's a phenomenal thing, and some sort of letter of welcoming and let's talk as soon as possible. There's a whole bunch going on here, and so looking forward to working together.
Thank you, Commissioner Fallerman. I also want to my fellow commissioners, managing members, we're going to have a retreat in a few months, and Co-Chair Hasegawa and I will be having discussions with John Wolf and others about that. So if you have some retreat ideas, please send either of us an email for the retreat. It was so refreshing.
How about a full spa day? Could be spa. When I hear retreat, I think, oh, man.
And good food. Well, we won't rule it out, let me say that. But thank you so much for being here today. We don't get to see and listen to a lot of folks that are our stakeholders, people we work with, people we serve as members of the community. So very important for your attendance, and we do appreciate that. Commissioner Ryan?
Yeah, I guess just as a final comment, and John, you know, I listening to the testimony and reading some of the letters that we've received regarding the trucking situation. You know, I can recall a lot of years ago, one of the things that people always ask me is, are you really defining the problem? And I think one of the things, if I had any recommendation, John, is that this whole issue, in my mind, revolves around the terminal operators, the very people who control that terminal, whether it's open, whether it's fluid in the context of efficiency. And it reminds me of a couple of things. And the thing that I guess maybe I'm going to let my fellow commissioners know is I'm going to be looking at lease amendments that require productivity. And this, you know, even that pause agreement had a requirement to where gates are supposed to be open. And I, as a public entity controlling the waterfront, and not having public access to those terminals on 5 days a week so that the truckers can come in there and have turn times that are reasonable. That's the problem, John. It's not our trucking community. It's our terminal operators. And I'll be looking for not only for a work plan that speaks to that issue, but also in future lease amendments, I'm going to be after that topic as well, productivity of terminals.
Okay, thank you. I see no further hands. The time is now 1:05, and with no further business before us, we are adjourned.